The PK Podcast.
Hello.
Hi.
And welcome
to the PK Podcast.
That's right. Remember us? Remember the old PK Podcast? Remember that old podcast you used to listen to, huh?
That's right. It's me, Juan Rodriguez, with my son,
Nicholas Rodriguez.
A pastor and his son.
That's my dad is the pastor. I am the son. It is the PK Podcast, the Pastor's Kid Podcast, because, you know, that's what I am. You know, whether I like it or not, that's what I am. It's not what defines me.
It isn't, but this is where we talk about life.
But and we talk about life, love, and spirituality.
That's what we do through the eyes of a pastor and his son.
That's right. And that's us. My dad is the pastor and I am the son.
And we want to welcome you to our very last season.
Oh yeah. You just went straight out and said it, man.
Straight up. This is our last season.
Yes, this is the last season of the PK Podcast.
Ever.
This is season 3.
Season 4.
What?
This is 4th season, son.
No, dude. We have not done 3 seasons.
We have done 3 seasons.
This is... There's no way we've done 3 seasons.
We're going to have to look it up. This is our 4th and last season. I'm telling you right now, I know these things.
That...
Because I advertised them. I put it out there.
I'm going to have to check my phone in between episodes, man.
Check your phone. And if it's incorrect, then we'll fix it on the next episode.
Yeah. But anyways, whatever,
this is our last season, no matter
whatever
what
season it is, it's our last one.
Last one.
And you know, this one's a little bit more, maybe a little bit more relaxed, a little bit more introspective.
Maybe
for some, when it just comes to like, you know, episode topics and maybe also just, where we are right now, the position we're in.
Time to reflect.
Yeah. where we are, we're looking at this big mirror.
That's right.
So you got to think about that, man, about the physical representation of reflection.
That's right. And let us reflect. Let us reflect a little bit. So we've done a whole bunch of different things these last few episodes. Actually, this last few seasons. My bad. Last few seasons, and we are heading into this season thinking about the stuff we've talked about in the past, but also moving forward with things we want to challenge people with in the future of their lives.
Yeah. Definitely talk about some, you know, I would say the podcast has never been a stranger to deep topics, but, you know, maybe this one's going to hit a little bit closer to home. I don't know if we have any guests planned or anything. We don't have any guests, right?
I don't have any guests this season. This is going to be you and me.
Ay, ay, ay. It's going to be us.
Just us. A pastor and his son.
Hey, wait a minute. It's like the PK Podcast or something.
So this season, we will want to share with you a few things that are going to be kind of new, but also we're bringing back some old things like the Dream 3.0. We're going to talk about dreams again.
Oh, bro, you're spoiling future episodes.
That's okay.
Bro.
I'm just putting it out there. I'm being a commercial. okay. I put out there on social media some questions for you to ask us. We're doing one more Q&A episode.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, well, those are the things that we're kind of, yes, a couple of things that we'll bring back. And we'll see what happens as we roll through this these recordings and load them up for you to listen to. And hopefully you'll be blessed by it.
Yep. And this... this first little introduction, this one might even call it a season premiere. You know, we maybe want to go and look at some things that might have been on our minds or certain events that might have taken place in between the seasons, possibly.
Right, because, you know, things change.
Things do change. A lot of things change. In fact, a lot of things have changed. Since the last season, and I think that, at least for me, one of the big reasons why I wanted to talk about things that might have been covered on previous seasons is because I think that my mindset and my perspective on a lot of things maybe haven't completely flipped or anything, but they definitely changed.
Yeah, Life changes, man. I'm telling you.
Yeah, dude. And it's not always a drastic change, but I've found more and more that these little micro changes are like really, really, really important to pay attention to.
That's very true. Like my micro change of turning 50 since our last podcast.
Well, that's not a micro change, bro.
Oh, yeah.
That's a big change.
I'm 5-0 now.
You're 50. You're halfway to 100, bro.
I'm halfway to death, I think.
You think halfway to death? That's a pretty fantastic age to live to.
It might be. I might live to 100. Maybe I'll just die a few years from now. I don't know.
Huh. Interesting. So you're 50th. How do you feel being a 50-year-old man? How has it impacted your mind, your body, your soul?
My mind, it has not impacted it. I'm kind of still young-minded.
Uh-huh.
My body, however, it's a different story.
Okay. Would you say that there's a big change between your body at 49 and your body at 50?
I would say so. I got more pains on my shoulders. I got more pains on my neck. I got more pains in different places of my body, and I don't like it.
Yeah, it's pretty. But I mean, would you not say that you've had pains in those specific areas before? Would you not say, like,
I would say they have new pains, and the old pains have just gotten worse. Yeah.
Do you think that literally on your 50th birthday these pains just activated, or has it been gradual since you changed into 50?
I think they started activating at 50, and all they did was get worse as the days went by.
That's so interesting that on your 50th birthday is when you feel that it, like, actually, like, it wasn't like a gradual thing.
It is an amazing thing, I tell you.
Well, I don't know about amazing. It's definitely crazy, but amazing makes it seem like it's a good thing. I don't think it's a good thing in the slightest. But okay, that's your body, all right. But your mind, you said you're still young in the mind. What exactly do you mean by that? I think that's an interesting thing to
explore.
To explore, just in the sense of you're saying you're young at mind. There are probably some dudes at 50 that probably feel like they've lost their youth. But how are you maintaining that? Is it a passive thing? Is it an active decision that you make? Like, what do you mean being young at mind, though being 50?
I think it just means that I keep on with the philosophy of not taking myself too serious.
Mm.
And when people try to make things too serious,
yeah,
I attempt to make sure that I'm not taking things too serious in my case. Like, if you're going to put me down or try to say things that are critical, I'll just take it for what it is. And what it is really is a person might be emotionally immature.
Uh-huh.
And I'm just like, okay, whatever. Move on. It doesn't impact me. Not taking myself too serious. I guess stuff like that. There's probably other things into that, but that's one of the things I think that keeps you young-minded.
Yeah.
Is not having to overanalyze everything that happens to you or what people say or think about you.
Well, and I think that that's probably one of the biggest decisions you could probably make, being someone who overthinks things, because that has always been my problem. Mm. And I think that that's probably why that piece of advice that I've actually gotten from you before is so valuable and has helped me a lot, because sometimes people just say things, and I used to focus and hone in on every single thing that somebody said about me or talked about an event or something like that. I don't know. Just anything. And not taking those things too seriously kind of makes it to where, well, I mean, it's not really worth thinking about. Not because what they're saying isn't of value, but because what they're saying isn't, I mean, it's not that big of a deal. Like, in comparison to things that actually are a big deal.
Right. And when you are able to do that, you can live a lot more peaceful, joyful, energetic, and I think all of that keeps your mind young.
Well, yeah, because I think that a lot of people's mental age goes up with stress, right? You kind of feel more aged the more stress you become.
Mm-hmm.
And you're essentially just saying, well, I'm just not going to be stressed out about those things. So it's almost like you're extending your youth in that sense by blocking off stress.
Right, that's a part of it.
Unnecessary stress, at least, because it's like those aren't really things that you should be worrying about. It's like the whole thing about, like, gray hairs. Like, you get gray hairs the more stressed out about things that you are.
Oh, yeah, I don't know about that, because my hair has definitely gotten more gray.
Well, no, no, no. I don't think it has anything to do with the actual physical manifestation of gray hairs. I think it more has to do with the idea of not becoming an old geezer.
Old geezer.
It's like, I've had enough of all this. I've been through life, and I've done all this crap, and I'm just done. Mm-mm-mm. I hate it. I'm done with all this. And that's how you get really grumpy, is that you just let all those things get to you. And then by that point in your life, you're like, oh, whatever. I hate this. Everything sucks. Everything's the worst.
That's true, especially if you're a person that enjoys routine and likes things to go right. A certain way all the time. Change can cause chaos. And that's just a problem, because what we are guaranteed in life for sure is that things will always change.
Yeah, and it's also, I think, change as like, this makes it sound really ethereal. But change as an element, right, is like neither good or bad. It's just change. Things just change, and some things change and they suck, and some things change and it's awesome. But that just really depends on your reaction to it, which also plays into the thing of not taking it too seriously, right? Because then if you're taking certain changes way too seriously, then you're like, oh, great. Now I have to shift the entirety of who I am. And that's a whole nother ordeal. Essentially being like, oh, I have to essentially forego this reconstruction of myself because of the reconstruction of my environment, almost.
And what I discovered earlier in life is that when you are the person who is creating change, when you are the catalyst of change, like the reason things are changing is because you are the one in leadership of that change or in charge of that change.
Yeah.
It's a lot more fun because you're the one that's making the changes, and people have to kind of like hopefully change with what you are putting out there.
Well, I mean, also in an ideal environment, everybody is secure enough to be able to instill their own change without depending on someone else to do it for them.
Yeah, but also when you are overseeing a team or overseeing a church,
right.
You know, being a pastor, I did, so that when you are bringing the change to the church, like it's something that God's put in your heart, and you have to help the church change the way they're doing things to make it, you know, be a better church, then that to me is a lot more exciting than if you're my boss.
Right.
And you're telling me, hey, so this has to change. And I'm like, oh, great. I have to change something. I don't want to change anything. I like the way things are.
Right.
So I've always found out that I discovered, and it's very true, that when you're the one who's a change agent, it's just a lot better for you personally. But when you're the one who change is coming upon, that is so difficult to deal with.
Well, and see that. That, I think, translates perfectly from an occupation over into actual life, in the sense of that sometimes in jobs you're not able to choose whether or not you're in a leadership position. Most of the time you're not able to choose whether or not you're in a leadership position, right? So you just have to kind of like take the cards that are dealt, basically. And then, you know, you can try and make change and try and do things, but again, you're not always in charge because, you know, you might not be at that level with management, or you might not be trusted yet. Maybe you're new, or again, maybe you're just in such a low position that the changes that you make are so microscopic that it's, you know, it's still change nonetheless, but, you know, anything could happen higher up that changes that affects you down below. But the thing is, with your life, when it comes to like your actual life, you are able to take a leadership position, because I think that too many people in their lives maybe say, well, I'm just going to take the example of this other person that I know, and I'm just going to follow along to what they're doing because they seem to have it all together. But the issue with that is that human beings are such a variable thing. Like in an equation, right, you have your constants and you have your variables. Human beings are variables. So if you have the constant of the kind of change that's being instilled by this other person in their own life, it may seem all fine to dandy for the most part, but there are going to be times and there are going to be things that, that you see or that you do that really do not, they do not align with the kind of person that you are, the way that you need to think about things or the way that you need to process things, because people's minds are just so complex and different, you know? So you, when it comes to your own life, you need to make the decision to take that leadership role of being like, yes, I am going to, and I think that in part, well, there are two parts to it. You ready for this?
I'm so ready.
Okay. In part, I think that there is something to be learned from when you're not sure about the kind of change that you should instill in your life or the kind of way that you should lead your life. I think that looking to other people, gaining perspective, asking them how they do things, and not necessarily looking at any of them and going, oh yeah, that's definitely what I need to do, or oh, that worked for them, which means it's going to work for me. Instead, taking all the perspectives, find out which one you lean towards, find out which one helps you the most, and then comes the second step, which I think that once you've gained perspective, which essentially opens your mind, right? Because at least for me, it's very natural for me to get stuck in my own head. So I need perspective to be able to open my mind and kind of like get breathing room on in my own thoughts. And then the next step comes to giving that to God, right? Because God has the ultimate plan, you know? So you can gain all these perspectives, do all these things, try it, take into account, pray every single day that God's will is done on your life. And I think that with that, you will be able to, those two things together, if you're not sure about the direction of your life, I think that, and then also looking back on past experiences, looking at the way that you've handled things before in the past, which recently I've been doing a lot, by the way, just when I'm chilling by myself, mm-hmm. that there's a whole huge thing I could go on about that, but I think that would take up a whole nother episode. But I'm going to write it down because I think that it's a conversation that we need to have. But regardless, there are things that you'll look back on your life and you'll go, oh, that's how I reacted to that. That wasn't good. Or, oh, that's how I handled that. That was good. And you'll be able to build that. And it's very slow, but you essentially build this foundation of, okay, I think I am able to make decisions now in my own life without feeling insecure about every single decision that I make, especially since you take all of those things and you essentially you put it in God's hands, and at that point you can't lose, right? You have gained security not only in the opening of your mind, but also in the sacrificing of all of those worries to God.
Yeah, and there's also with that, there's positive change and negative change.
Right.
Or what our perception is concerning the change, which could be positive or negative, depending on what's going on. So for example, yes, depending on God on the changes that take place, but that becomes extremely hard for a person who loses a loved one.
Right.
Whether it be a parent.
Yeah, changes out of your control. That's a completely different thing.
Exactly. Losing a loved one, like a spouse, yeah. Like a dear friend, like even worse when it's a young person. It could be someone that you knew in high school that got in a car accident and they passed away. Or it could be a niece or a nephew that was sick, you know, and unfortunately they passed away. So those kind of negative changes really impact us, and we need to figure out how can we move forward with this terrible change that just took place in my life. This person that I love that is no longer around to support me, to help me, to be with me. You know, those traumatic changes are one of the worst things that human beings can experience. And being able to turn to the God that never changes is, I believe, one of the ways that a person can continue to move forward in this constantly changing world. And I know I got a little bit dark there with the negative stuff,
yeah.
But there's also, you know, positive changes, you know, like getting married, you know, could be a wonderful positive change for someone that's always wanted to be
right.
with someone. They're but in even love then, now. They get married and they're, but there is stress to that.
But even then, that's something that's within the control of somebody. What do you think is something that's outside of your control that could be a positive change?
A positive change that's outside of our control?
Yes, because when it's in your control, it's different, right? Because then you actually, you can put thought into it, going into it, and kind of build a foundation of how you'll approach the change.
Someone gifted me $1 million.
Okay, yeah.
That's totally out of my control.
Yeah.
But that would be a super cool change.
Yeah, it'd be fantastic.
It'd be wonderful.
Right.
Yeah, I'd love that kind of change.
Well, I guess what I'm trying to say is because it's very rare that something happens in your life that is born of your own decision of change, not in the sense of, not saying that it barely ever happens, but just in comparison to, you could set up an entire plan for change, right? And you're going to completely switch your life around, and then boom, somebody in your family's sick and now you have to live with them and take care of them, right? Yep. Everything is destroyed, meaning that even though your choice to change or make change, whether it be personal or external or mental or emotional or relationship-wise, anything like that, any decision that you make for change can immediately get trumped by something that happens externally, right? So in that sense, the external change being almost what one might even say a more powerful force, not in the sense that I think that it's more because you don't know when it happens. I think that's what makes it stronger. I think that a human being making a decision to be proactive for change, the I don't want to say energy because it makes it sound like it's some kind of weird aura or whatever. But I think that it's more powerful when it comes to what it can do. But I think that external change, because it's so random, the shock of it itself can make it 10 times stronger than any decision you could make. So I guess what I'm asking is, how would you think that you begin to move forward with any sense of external change that comes by surprise, whether it be positive or negative?
Well, I think that one of the first things that you need to have a mindset of is knowing that things will always change. That things will never stay the same.
Right. Therefore, you will expect the unexpected.
Therefore, you will expect changes, period. Whether right. they're unexpected or expected.
No matter what it will be, if as long as you are aware that things will always change, whenever a change catches
exactly.
you off guard.
Exactly.
Technically, it kind of didn't, because you were already expecting something
exactly.
to catch you off guard.
Or at least you can not freak out about it or stress about it. You know, it still might surprise you and you may not like it. I mean, you're not going to be like, oh, really? My car just blew up and I have to get a new car. Okay, changes happen.
Oh, well, I was expecting change. So it's a good thing
change.
I was prepared for this.
Yeah, so I'm good. Yeah, that kind of stuff probably wouldn't be the reaction we have for something like that. But it's also not going to be like, oh, my word, my life is ending now because my car just blew up. I don't know what to do.
Right, exactly. You can't let it control you.
It can't control your emotions. It shouldn't take you down a dark tunnel of despair and depression. You just have to understand that, unfortunately, things are going to happen, whether it's good or bad. I mean, fortunately, if it's good,
but unfortunately,
if it's bad. And the thing is that when things are going good, that's awesome. But because we live in a constantly changing world, you need to understand that, you know, sometimes things won't be at that very special spot of greatness that's going on in your life. And so expect that, you know, hey, I love this change, but, you know, life has a way of changing things again. So I just got to have that mindset of change is a part of life.
You know what I just realized?
What did you just realize?
We are basically accidentally doing an episode about one of the topics I based another episode around called This Too Shall Pass.
All right, so we shouldn't go there.
No. We already went there. So
well, we can't go there now.
What do you mean?
Because that's a different episode.
No. That because now that's basically this episode, because what I'm saying is that the idea of This Too Shall Pass is to say that when the good comes, that too shall pass, but when the bad comes, that as well shall pass as well. So change constantly happens, good or bad, outside of yourself.
So now we don't have to do an episode on this too shall pass?
No, that's this episode. This is the change slash this too shall pass episode.
Change, because, colon, this too shall pass.
What one of the best things I ever heard in my entire life was actually an interview with Tom Hanks. You ready for this?
I'm ready.
Tom Hanks says that the way that he has gotten through life and has been so content with his life and honestly, what I call happiness, because I think that some people, when they think of happiness, they think of, oh, I'm constantly overjoyed about everything. I think of happiness as not being in a state of sadness because of my past. Go back to season one. Back to season one to learn about my bloodstained origin story. But I think a lot about that. And being content for me is so much better than being depressed that for me, that's happy. But anyways, point is that Tom Hanks says this. He goes, you think that, you know, your loved ones are dying. You're not getting a job. You're at the side of the street. You're begging for scraps. You're, you know, you feel like you've lost everything. You're at rock bottom. This too shall pass, right? And then right after that, he says, you feel like you're at the top of the world, like nothing could touch you, like you've finally gotten everything you ever wanted, like you finally earned the respect that you deserve. This too shall pass. And I think that was one of the most beautiful things.
Yeah, that he ever said. Very, very good stuff. That's some serious wisdom, right?
Yes, because life is not just about waiting for the bad things to end, and life is not pain with intermittent like separation of things that are good. Life is a constant wavering of good and bad that both pass, right? So the idea that you could live in contentment and be happy with the contentment of that wavering is, I think, the only way to not be constantly switching between, oh, my life is the best, and then something bad happens. You go, no, my life is the worst, and something good happens, and now you're like, oh, my life is the best. Instead going, well, this too shall pass, right? So continue doing the things that truly matter beyond all those external things that make you feel like you're at the top of the world or make you feel like you're at rock bottom, because all those things shall pass.
Unless you are bipolar, definitely take some counseling and some drugs to help you.
Yeah, if you're bipolar, it's a completely different story. It has nothing to do with external stuff. That is completely, that's just on another level.
See a doctor, get medication, very important. We are not trying to minimize those kinds of situations. If you are there, we are not minimizing. Well, just because he's laughing doesn't mean that we are minimizing it.
Well, bipolar disorder is beyond anything that we could even talk about, at least myself. I have no experience with bipolar disorder. I don't know anybody with bipolar disorder. I only know Kanye West, and that is on like a... That's on a level of hearing his music and seeing his tweets and interviews. I don't know the guy, so I could never tell you truly what being bipolar has on the effect that it has on the mind, and whether or not that's even the biggest reason why Kanye West is the way he is.
But for those of you who are not struggling with that kind of mental illness, I do want to tell you that what just spoken there by my son is so important for you to really embrace, to be able to understand that doesn't matter what junk you're going through right now, there is a light at the end of that journey, and that too shall pass. And if you have just won a super award and just got received $1 million, because that would really get me excited, understand that life goes on and life continues to change, and that feeling of great excitement will go away. Now, how are you going to live the rest of your life?
Yeah, the way I like to see it is almost kind of like a line, like a slope. So life in the way to live a life like we're describing is that your life is essentially this thing that is going up constantly, right? If you're making the choices to make it go up, it's going up. But it does not mean that it'll never dip down. And sometimes it'll dip all the way to the bottom. But when you look at it on this zoomed out view, all you're seeing is a line going up throughout the years. There are these shocking little dips. Sometimes they're crazy low and sometimes they're crazy high. But eventually it kind of recenters itself. It doesn't plateau. It's not going down. It is this thing going up because after every single bad thing that happens, you will be better. And that's if you, of course, assuming that you have taken the process to accept those things and also have learned from those things rather than just sitting in it, because then that makes the dip last longer, right? So the good and the bad, those are just fluctuations. But from each good and bad fluctuation, you are able to learn, you're able to learn and grow, which essentially feeds the gradual growth over time that is constantly happening. So even in that sense, like I said before, being content to me is just being happy, because you're taking everything you learn from every single fluctuation and using it to essentially feed the gradual growth of the, I guess, the line graph, not a line graph slope, whatever. You know what I'm talking about. You see what I'm getting on to. But yeah, and you know, honest, if I'm being completely honest with you, I did not expect that for the conversation to even go there. I thought we were just going to talk about how I'm moving.
Yeah, you know, when you talk about change, the conversation might change into something that you weren't expecting.
Yeah. So maybe we could even do an entire episode about me moving and how that feels, and we could talk about you moving. I'm serious. I don't think I ever asked what you felt like or what you went through when you first moved out of your parents' home with your beautiful wife, Odalis.
Oh, I wasn't in my parents' home with my beautiful wife, Odalis. I got married after I left my parents' home.
Okay, so you lived by yourself? And then you married mom?
I went to college.
Oh, so you were in a dorm while you were married?
No. I went to a dorm. I got married. In my last year of college, we lived in marriage housing on campus.
Oh, there's marriage housing on campus?
I mean, I don't know what they have now, but that's what it used to be called back in the day.
If I'm being completely honest with you, knowing the state that Southern has been in when it comes to romance and relationships, nobody's getting married while they're at Southern. I think I knew maybe two or three tops people who were married and still attending Southern and didn't wait until after Southern to get married. So I don't even know if they have the audience at Southern or rather the student body at Southern to even fill a marriage housing, because marriage is something that's scary to people now.
Well, now they have a lot of different type of off-campus housing in the sense of they have apartments and stuff like that that people pay rent to them. So now they have those kind of options, I think. You know, I could be wrong, but back in the day, that's what they had. And we paid rent to Southern, just like you pay rent for the dorm. And that's what we did. Wow, this conversation has really, really changed into something totally different.
Well, because I brought up me moving. So then I brought up the idea of you talking about your moving experience and then me talking about mine.
Change.
But it seems like your moving experience was a lot more tame compared
change.
To mine.
Change.
That's crazy, huh? Wait a minute. Say it one more time. Change. Oh, wait. One more time.
Change. Things happen. Things just change. It's crazy.
Wow.
Like, we're totally doing something different right now with our last season. We usually were in studios to do our podcast. But in order to make this a little bit more comfortable for us in the time and space, as well as making this a lot more feasible financially for us to do, we're doing this podcast from a bedroom.
Oh, we're in this beautiful little mechanical bed that lifts up so we can put our heads up. And me and my dad, we went on a little date to Carrabba's, had a little chicken parm, had a little bread, had a little dip. And, you know, I got a little bit of red belly. I'm feeling a little warm. And this is exactly what I needed. We got everything we need right here in this bedroom.
Two mics, a computer, and a thingy.
Yeah, and then a thingy.
That records us.
Yeah, and we're going to, and after this, we're going to maybe cuddle, take a little nap.
I doubt that.
Okay, well, anyways, do you got anything else to say for this episode?
I'll tell you what, my friends, expect change, live content, and keep moving forward knowing that God never changes. He's always there with you.
God bless. That was beautiful.
That was beautiful.
Well, guys, thank you once again for tuning in to the PK Podcast once again for our final season. This is it. This is our big shebang. This is our big goodbye.
But goodbye.
So, you know, we got more episodes to come, but this is the first one. And don't forget about us because we're still here and we're never leaving until the end of this season. And then we are leaving.
We out.
We out. All right. You remember we used to say the thing?
Yes. Yeah.
We used to say, God made you special.
And he loves you very much.
Bye.
Bye.
I love you, Dad.
I love you too, son.